And let's go next to a tiny village in a region that's been racked by war. It straddles the border of Israel and Lebanon. It's now under Israeli control, but there's a plan to divide it up, and there's fear that plan just isn't going to work. NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro was allowed rare access to the village, and she filed this report.
Ajar is a place where the interests of bitter enemies converge. Israel, Lebanon, and Syria all lay claim to this hamlet of 2,300 inhabitants. It's encircled by a fence, and to get into it, you have to have the Israeli army's permission.
NPR, National
so
Public Radio.
I need to see four people in this car. Okay, great. Thank you.
Once inside the fence, the village feels like a tiny enclave of normality perched on what is one of the most volatile borders in the world. One half of the village is actually in Israeli territory. The other half is in Lebanon. But walk among the pastel houses and immaculate tree-lined streets, and there's nothing that indicates that you are crossing from one side to another. Residents worry that that will change if the new plan is implemented. Najib Khatib is the village's deputy mayor and spokesman.
Nobody cares about the opinion of the population. They deal with them like cattle.
Here's the history of Rajar, and be warned, it's really complicated. Israel took over Rajar after the 1967 war when it seized the Golan Heights from Syria. The residents of Rajar are all Alawite Muslims, like those who form the ruling class in Syria. But after the war, all the villagers accepted Israeli passports. Over the years, the village slowly expanded northwards. That only became a real problem in 2000 when Israel decided to end its 18-year occupation of southern Lebanon. After the pullout, the United Nations drew the so-called Blue Line, a temporary border which delineates what is Israeli-controlled territory and what is Lebanese. The problem is that that line runs right through the center of Rajar. Half the village ended up in a different country. So now you have the strange situation of Syrians who are Israeli citizens living in Lebanon. Needless to say, no one in Rajar seems happy about this. Inside the Fatal family home, which is in the Lebanese side of Rajar, the women bustle around preparing coffee. Visitors are unusual here. Ambulances aren't even allowed to come into the village. If someone gets sick, they have to be taken to the checkpoint outside of town. The family tells me there's a lot of confusion about what is supposed to happen in the coming months. Most people here think they're going to literally erect a wall in the middle of the village, cutting off one side from another. Nabiha Fatal is the matriarch.
She is angry because they want to split the village into two parts. You know, the village will be divided.
But according to Israeli officials, the plan they're looking at adopting won't physically partition Rajar. Israel and the United Nations have agreed that the northern part of town will be handed over to Lebanon, but it's more symbolic than anything else. Residents won't have access to Lebanon. Rajar will still be fenced off. Israel will continue to provide the northern part of the village with its services. The only thing that will change is that the Israel Defense Forces won't patrol the northern enclave. Andrew Tabler is with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and a Rajar expert.
It's the uncertainty that I think is the most nerve-wracking for the people who live in Rajar. Are you going to end up being a citizen of Israel? Are you going to end up being handed back to Syria? Are you going to end up being Lebanese? And you have to plan the rest of your life. You have to plan your children's lives.
The withdrawal is also a gamble for Israel. In 2005, the Lebanese Hezbollah militia tried and failed to kidnap Israeli soldiers in Rajar. Israel doesn't want to leave a security vacuum that its enemies can exploit. But as of now, it's really not clear who will police northern Rajar if the deal goes through. And Tabler worries this may cause more problems in the future.
Who's authorized to go in when there's a problem? So that creates a no man's land. And when you create no man's land, twilight zones like that along a border, it becomes very dangerous because such loopholes, strong parties tend to run trucks through.
For now, all the residents can do is wait, as powers far beyond their control negotiate their fate. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News.